Blog Talk Radio.
Father, we thank you, Father, always. We thank you during solar storms. We thank you during wars and rumors of wars. We thank you during the release of intentional and murderous pestilence and famine. That is the taking out of our food supplies. We praise you, Father God, for all of your mercies, especially those that we're receiving today amidst such a very, very dark time that the world is experiencing that so many, unfortunately, are not really taking note of. But at the same time, Father, we just praise you and we pray for our fellow brothers and sisters who have been corralled into believing what they're taught at their churches and what they are told by the people that they follow. Maybe they're prophets that are part of a club or a group or whatever the case is. or their churches or their local gatherings or whatever, Father, and they truly believe from the very deep depths of their heart that that because they support Israel, no matter what's happening, with very very little understanding of what is actually going on, they strongly and mightily support everything that's associated with Israel and Israel's choices. And Father, we know that we know what your Bible says, and we know that these are all prophetic. You know, the existence of Israel is extremely prophetic. We know that you are going to betroth, you know, God's true Israel from Hosea chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Father, we understand the prophecies that are behind these things and the glory that's behind the prophetic choices that you have made. And, you know, Father, there's so many lies coming from both sides. There's lies coming from the Palestinian sides. There's lies that are coming from everywhere. And it's very much, we acknowledge and praise you, Father, because it's very much like all wars, whether it be World War I, whether it be the French Revolution, whether it be the War of 1812. It really doesn't matter what war. Whenever there are wars here on this earth, there are virtually everything that you hear from any source is some type of disinformation or lie. And so we find ourselves in a place right now on this earth which is absolutely immersed, completely drowning in lies. So where, as the Antichrist had said, if you fill the, and I'm paraphrasing, but you certainly do know, Father, he said essentially that if you fill the town square with enough raw sewage that no one will be able to believe or trust anything that they hear from any source at all. And his commentary in regard to that was that at that point you had won. You had won, and you had created enough mass confusion, enough, you know, of a negative situation that people would be malleable. They could be twisted into believing just about anything at that point, which is very much what we're going through right now, although so many do not, they haven't come to the realization of these things as yet. And Father, we just want to give you all the praise and worship. We thank you, Father, so much, Lord Jesus, so much. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for taking the time to answer the questions that were asked you about your coming at Mount Olivet. Thank you for sharing Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13 with us and helping us see the gentle nuances between them and be able to absorb them and become excited from different viewpoints. Father, Lord Jesus, we praise you for helping us to understand the things that are happening across the earth right now, to be able to recognize you know, this right now the planet is, as you know, of course, praise your holy name, is getting hit with a 3.89 coronal mass ejection, which is a type of a solar storm. On a scale of 1 to 5, that would be the very edge of a 4, which makes it a very powerful solar storm. Not powerful enough to be compared to the Carrington event in the 1800s, although a lot of people are. They are comparing it to that because people are operating under an alarmed state of mind. Ever since what's happened with the gain-of-function laboratory experiments, the incredibly sinister and unbelievably sick, twisted, evil laboratories that have been set up all over the Ukraine, the underground tunnels that have been revealed all over the world, and the massive participation in the underground pedophilia system and the adrenochrome system that's been, everybody knows about it now, with Jim Caviezel, Sound of Freedom. I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but Father, it's amazing because we have, and then there are so many people that are just overwhelmed with their work. They're so overwhelmed with their work, just keeping the lights on, just continuing to be able to eat, be able to pay the rent. Father, I thank you for, I don't like that my ex-Dawn had to leave. I know what she's doing is a really good thing, but as you know, it puts a very, very noteworthy negative burden upon me, because when you're used to being in solitary confinement at all the time, I mean 100% of the time, like a supermax prison, when somebody's staying in the house, the very presence of another person being in the house is a powerful and mighty blessing. You know, even though, you know, it wasn't like a big party or anything, it was just nice having another person, another human around. And Father, I just want to thank you for that time. I pray that you will bless her in her endeavor to go help her friend Stephanie, who's sick. And also I thank you, Father God, for her sharing with me what she shared with me just a few moments ago about the fact that the rent in her facility has jumped up almost to $3,000 a month, which to me is just so beyond astonishing. I can't even verbalize it. I can't put it into words. It's not possible. And how sobering finding out those things actually are. Knowing that the economy is collapsing, understanding the tens of thousands of people that are being laid off all over the world, but in particularly here in the United States, it's seems to be awfully focused on tech companies, but it's hitting other companies as well. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, indeed thousands, I would submit, stores are closing all over the United States to prevent them from bleeding out and going under. So major companies that have thousands of store locations across the entire United States are closing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of their stores as fast as they can, not because they're not profitable, but because if they don't close them, they're going to have to file for bankruptcy and go completely under. So these are acts. These are board of directors' final, what would you call it? It's a final act on the part of the board of directors of these corporations, these huge companies, to save the company, to save it by closing down, you know, hundreds and hundreds of stores of the thousands that they have out there. It's a act of board of director desperacy to keep the corporation itself viable and functioning. Because if they continue to operate with the overhead that was necessary to keep the less profitable stores open, they would go under quickly and everybody would be out of a job. And we see this dynamic happening across, I mean, it's got to be more than 100, maybe 200 different major chains of stores in just the United States alone. And I know these same dynamics are happening in different countries as well. So we do see the manifestation of the seals. We understand, Lord Jesus, that there's no doubt in our minds that you have broken all of the seals. And the only one that's even remotely in question as far as a seal, a scroll, having not the seal broken, would be the sixth seal. As far as the scrolls and the seals that are associated with that which we are able to see and experience by virtue of being here on the earth, there are other seals that are not things we can see and happen, you know, outside of our purview from where we are here on the earth. And we can imagine in, you know, in our sanctified imaginations that those seals as well have been broken, and that, and also imagine with our sanctified imaginations, praise you, Jesus, thank you, Father, that the seals are rolling out at different speeds. Because the contents of the scrolls are what we are seeing happening around the world. It's what's in the scrolls that we see. It's what's in the scrolls that hits the news. It's what's inside the scrolls that causes, you know, banks, multiple banks to fail. These are the things that happen that lead to the fulfillment of the third seal, the fulfillment of, I believe with all of my heart, that the behold a red horse is Russia. Could be Russia and China combined, actually. And that's in full swing right now. It's moving forward very rapidly. We've got the BRICS nations that are forming an alliance, a financial alliance that is going to facilitate and accelerate the full manifestation of the third seal. We have Costco stores in Canada that are charging for maybe a dozen chicken thighs, seasoned chicken thighs, charging $225 for a dozen seasoned chicken thighs. The people are being wiped out everywhere, all over. They're being wiped out. They don't have, we see continuously, regularly, people, particularly from Canada, who is getting hit very hard because of the exceeding satanic evil that just pours out of the very orifices of Trudeau, probably one of the more satanic creatures that is on the earth at this time, right up there with Hillary Clinton. And we praise you, Father, for helping us to understand how sick and twisted and demented and abominable all of these creatures actually are, and what they're doing to the human race, the slaughter that's in progress, the very fact that they're working on a new version of Ebola that's many times a magnitude more deadly than the prior Ebola, and they're not even shy about it. It's in major news outlets. They're talking openly about it. No problem whatsoever. They're communicating with the entire world about how they're going to use what we already know are completely ineffectual and worthless PCR tests to test the cattle as an excuse to kill them off. And they want to do it completely. They're evidently have decided that they want to accelerate our famine. And the fastest way for them to accelerate our famine is to make up a lie, as they always do, multiple lies, lies upon lies, lies upon lies, lies upon more lies. And then murder all of the food supply, completely wipe it out, knowing very well that protein is needed by those who practice spiritual warfare. Anybody who has read books, studied up, has any experience whatsoever in spiritual warfare understands that meat is required to do spiritual warfare. That the protein in vegetables, as it says in Romans 14, that there are those who are weak who eat only vegetables. And the reason for that is because they do not and cannot provide enough protein, particularly the protein levels that are needed to bring a person back to full power, for lack of a better term, after they have exhausted their energy sources by praying using spiritual warfare tactics. Anybody who has ever read a book on spiritual warfare that's worth the paper that it's written on has at least a section of it that is dedicated to the fact that we must eat meat, that meat is a mandatory requirement for proper spiritual warfare. And guess who knows that better than anybody? Satan. So naturally, Satan's going to go after the meat. He doesn't want us to have the meat because the spiritual warfare creates problems for him. So every single aspect of our walk in Christianity through Christ, through the power that has been given to us by you, Father, is under heavy attack. Daniel 7:25, where it says that he will wear out the saints, is obviously a fantastic, absolutely astonishing and stupefying understatement. And it's very difficult to read that scripture prophetically and even understand in the biblical end times timeline precisely where or what part of the end times timeline it was talking about. And then of course there are some of those of us who do not buy off on the 3.5-year pre-trib, what they refer to as the tribulation period that comes before the Great Tribulation. Many believe in the 3.5 plus 3.5 year dynamic. I don't. I may be wrong, And I know that I could very well be wrong all the time, Lord, and that's why you know that I'm always listening as carefully as I can to the guests that come on the radio show, to the information that you lead me to listen to, which isn't all that often, but I listen. And thus far, I've seen no reason to believe in the seven-year tribulation period, as 99.99999% of all Christians believe. 3.5, 3.5, 1 week. Could it be true? It could be true. Do I subscribe to it? I don't. Are people all over the world looking for somebody to stand up and make a covenant with many to wave that flag and start the race? There are. Are there Christians all over the world that are waiting for a red heifer to be slaughtered? They're waiting for the Al-Aqsa Mosque to be destroyed. They're waiting for a third Solomon's Temple. I don't understand why they would be waiting for that. Only primarily because it would take to build something as amazing as a third Solomon's Temple in accordance with that which was written in Ezekiel 30, what is it? Is it 34, 35, 36? It's right around that part of the Bible. And that type of building, it would take years and years and years to build it. Years and years and years to build it. But could it happen? It could. And Father, I just praise you that you brought me, and I praise you that you brought all of us, anyone who's taken the time to join, listen in on this program, whether they are listening live or whether they're listening to a podcast and spending some alone time with you. I just pray for every one of us, Lord, and in accordance with your word, as I do all the time, and I will never stop doing as long as my heart beats. I will never stop doing as long as you continue to protect my job and allow me to be able to do this work on your behalf. And I know it could be tentative. I know that it could be that at any time you could just say, okay, enough of Johnny. Time to do something different. And I understand that, Father, and I'm okay with it. Whatever your will is for my life, whatever it is, even if it's been hanging me upside down from a cross, I am not looking forward to that. Let me tell you something, Father, but whatever it is, well, your will be done. Whatever it is that you have for me, your will be done. But I will always pray in accordance with your word, and I will embrace with hope and faith and believe with all of my heart that your word will not come up void. However, I do also recognize that many of our fellow brothers and sisters that have come before us over the last several thousand years, definitely 2,000 plus, were not all created equal as far as our end time destiny or the end of our life destiny is, that all of the apostles met with some pretty horrific fates at the end of their lives. So why should I think that I will make the rapture? I would like to, and I pray, Father, and I will continue to pray always, that we all do. The horrors that are coming our way, the central bank digital currencies, the injection of graphene oxide nanobots, the connection of 5G, energizing and connecting people to the mark of the beast grid, the supercomputers that are going to be running the human race, what's left of it by then. And then finally, the last piece of the electronic connection, the mark of the beast itself, right around the corner. Father, people do not realize. They do not see it coming. They're going to their churches and they're praising you and running up and down the aisles with flags in their hands, and they're cheering on Israel, which is fine, but yet they don't understand. They just don't understand what's going on at all. They have no understanding at all. They have no understanding of World War III, the imminence of World War III. They do not understand, for the most part, the vast majority, I would submit, Again, 99.999999% of them do not know that Obama is the Antichrist. If they did, it would completely change their outlook on the things that are happening across the world. They would immediately stop thinking that Donald Trump is going to save the United States of America. They would immediately reevaluate every single thing they see happening across the world and measure it against your holy word, God, our Heavenly Father. And they're not doing that right now. They're living in a type of psychosis, a type of myopic psychosis, where they're not in tune with reality at all, and what reality they are willing to accept is utterly myopic and funneled into their tiny little world, wherever it is they live, wherever it is they go to church, and wherever it is they live, at that little 50-mile radius from where they were born. And that's what they perceive as reality. They don't care about the Christians in other parts of the world. It doesn't matter to them that there are Christians that are suffering in Namibia. It doesn't anything to them about the persecution that's taking place in other parts of the world. It doesn't matter to them. They don't even know what CBDCs are, let alone the fact that there are 98% of the central banks that have signed up for them. They have no idea what digital IDs are and what they'll be for. They're completely lost in that psychosis, that myopic psychosis, where all they see is their house, their job, and their church and what they're told. And that is all. And if other countries are going through terrible persecution or starvation, it's, oh well, not them. Obviously, they didn't support Israel well enough. I mean, that's really the mindset that's out there. It's awful. And you already know that, Father. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you will please forgive our fellow brothers and sisters who, for whatever reason, whether it be them believing wholeheartedly in the leadership of their church or what they've been taught over the years, which is probably the case. I would have to estimate that that would be the case for sure, as at least one of the attributes that would lead them to such a state of mind. Were the prophets that they follow on a particular list or group and have been for 20, 30 years, the TV shows that they used to watch that are no longer on the air anymore, but a lot of the people are still around, and they're still holding on to it with all of their might. Born into a time on this earth that was very different from the days that we're in right now. Born into a time on this earth where the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag was the most important thing they did all day long. The fear of Russia and hiding underneath their student desks at school as a routine part of the school day was a part of their life, and they just became accustomed to the fact that Russia had to be the one that was going to nuke them. And they were born and raised in that attitude, in that it was all a part of their life. They don't know any better. And so when they're told that Russia is evil and Russia's trying to do bad things, they're going to believe it instantaneously without any question whatsoever, because that is exactly how they were raised. And anything other than that is utterly unacceptable. Which means that the vast majority of our brothers and sisters across the world, of all 33,000 different denominations, are in a different place of understanding. They're in a very, very different place of understanding than one another. We can generalize, perhaps, Father, as you know, praise you, Jesus, that the United States of Babylon the Great and the 380,000 churches that make up, that are sprinkled about this country, are for the most part believe everything is going to be just fine because of the one verse in the Bible that says, if you bless Israel, you know, through the Abrahamic covenant, those who bless you and those who, I will curse those who curse you. They believe that, that's their Willy Wonka golden ticket directly into heaven, that everything that they do from that point forward is unimpeachable. Nothing, no sin can be found in them. And they are just praising God, having no idea that the end times is about to slap down on them like a black sludge from the pits of hell. And they don't see it coming at all. They don't see it coming at all. And it's a sad thing. And so, Father, we lift up our fellow brothers and sisters, not just in this country, but also in Australia, across all of Europe, across, you know, New Zealand, Canada, all of those who are considered part of the West that's under the heaviest and most sinister of attacks from the Antichrist and the global satanic crime syndicate, which is made up of mostly fallen seraphim, reptile-like creatures with horns and wings, just like those which Isaiah saw flying around the throne room, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." But in their fallen state, they know how to manipulate the hologram, the quantum mechanics, particle physics hologram, which we are all trapped in right now with Satan and his fallen angels. Yet they don't recognize it. Father, we pray that you will forgive them, that you will have mercy on all of us and forgive all of us. We need your forgiveness. We pray that you will please pour out your forgiveness as a waterfall of grace, a crystal river waterfall of grace upon each of us, because we all desperately need it. We desperately need your grace completely immersing us in forgiveness, because none of us are right. None of us are right. And so, Father, we just lift you up and praise you, and we thank you. And in accordance with Matthew 18, verse 19, Lord Jesus, you said, again, I say to you, and of course, Father, Lord Jesus, we pray this prayer to you because we know that we know that we know. It's not a belief. It's not a belief. We know it as a fact. We see the fig tree budding. We are surrounded by trees that are blooming green buds. We don't just know summer is near. We're in the summer. There's no debating it. And we praise you so much. So much, so much, so much we praise you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, so much. Because there's so many that don't see. And even if we tried to awaken them, it would be an act of utter futility. Because it would completely blow their cosmology and it would completely destroy their worldview. And they wouldn't be able to cope. The five stages of grief would set in and they would become locked and frozen in time and unable to grow anymore, completely in a state of disbelief, rejection, grief, and they would deny it. If their church even dared to try to tell them the truth, they'd get up, walk away, and find another church, probably within the week, that would tell them just what they wanted to hear, which is exactly what your scripture tells us about the itching ears to heap up for themselves teachers to tell them what they want to hear. But they don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear what they want to hear. And anything other than that, to them, is unacceptable. And Father, we lift each and every one of them up because I believe it's quite possible that each of us at some time in our lives were in their same exact shoes. At some time in our lives, almost certainly, each and every one of us were going to, maybe a church or maybe over a period of time, several churches. But the one thing that's almost certain is that every one of them were telling us exactly what we wanted to believe, what we were told was right, what was true, and we wanted to maintain that because it was our comfort zone. We wanted to believe that if we went to the front and accepted Jesus in our heart when we were 7 years old, that that was all that was required. And everything else was just a wonderful gift. That our works mean absolutely nothing to you, Father. How dare we suggest that works have meaning? How dare we even mention the word works without being attacked, ostracized, kicked out? What a travesty, Father. I know if it is laying heavy on anyone's heart in all of creation, it's laying heavy on yours and Jesus' heart. Very heavy. I would submit probably tearful eyes, deep anguish, because so many of your people are not seeing, which I guess means our time here is going to be a little longer than we thought. We don't know how long that, what does that mean? We don't know what that means. We have no idea. What is a little longer than zero? You know, when you have nothing to base, when you have nothing to base it on except relativity, but you don't even have a point in time, you don't have anything, you know what's relative to the number one, you know what's relative to the number 10. You can draw a scale of relativity when you have a point in time to compare it to. But when you do not have anything to compare it to, except statements like the fullness of the Gentiles being brought in, and warnings like Luke 21:20, when you see Jerusalem, when you see the enemies surrounding them, you know, don't look back, get out of town as fast as you can. But that's even... that's just one more of many precursor events that you've already warned us about that are in progress. And we could argue easily that that event is in progress now heavily. How much more so with the new Arab alliances that are being formed right now? How rapidly is the time diminishing before the prophecy of Luke 21:20 becomes a reality? We have nothing to compare it to. We have nothing to compare the word imminence to. We have nothing to compare the word soon to. So we have no point of reference at all. And we know that you don't want us to know, Father. You just want us to see the blooms on the fig tree. Well, we do because of your mercy. And we pray, Father, that your mercy that you have given to us to bring us to the place of understanding that we are at right now, that you will show that same mercy to our fellow brothers and sisters that are in what we refer to as churchianity, the church in the United States, and also the church in across all of Europe and Canada and Australia and New Zealand, Tasmania, and all the other countries that would potentially be considered part of the West that's being destroyed right now on purpose. It's being dismantled on purpose by the Antichrist and the fallen seraphim. arguably the board of the very board of directors of all of our archenemy, the filth, the horrors, things that cannot be repeated, but they're being allowed to continue. There is no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. And we find the entire earth covered with foxholes. Yet somehow we go out to buy groceries or sit in a restaurant on maybe some rare special occasion and realize that the 80 people that are in the restaurant know nothing. They know nothing. They see nothing. They're listening to lies coming out of the TV. And they have no understanding as they get into their pickup truck with their Ukraine sticker on the back. And that's where we have fallen to. It feels almost like a point of no return. We know that from a Bible prophecy standpoint, from an Olivet Discourse, 2 Thessalonians 2, Revelation chapter 6 standpoint, we have come to a place where there is no turning back. If the claim from the liars of the central bank digital currencies being adopted by 98% of the central banks is a true statement, that cannot be reversed. All that has to happen is one major event where power is lost long enough that the cell phone services come down, and when they come back up, there's a hidden embedded code on each of our phones. So there we're sitting. I know this feeling, Father. You know that I know this feeling. It's a horrible thing to go through. But I know what it's like to have the power go out for many, many, many days. Not months, but many, many, many days. And here in where I live in Tampa, that is horrible. You cannot sleep. If your bedroom is upstairs, you cannot go there. The ambient temperature of the room will be about 140 degrees. You cannot breathe. You will not sleep. And the only way you even have a shot at getting maybe a little bit of sleep is to rearrange the furniture, open all the doors and windows, and maybe be able to put a piece of furniture like a recliner in a place where there's a slight breeze that moves through your house. And then maybe, just maybe, maybe you might get an hour of sleep. Maybe slightly more. It's devastating. It's a horrible thing to go through. And you'll try all kinds of things like putting these little miniature solar panels that you can buy, thinking that your cell phone's going to charge. It won't. People have them. They think their phones are going to charge. Their phone will never charge. They'll put their cell phone with that stupid little solar charger out in the middle of their front yard, right in the middle of the sun, and they'll be waiting for it to charge up, and it will never charge because it doesn't work. Thank you, Father, for teaching that to me, that I can help others. Because I know, I thought I was all set. I really did. I pulled out my solar chargers and I thought I was. Boy, was I prepared. And boy, was I surprised when I had zero charge on my phone. The only way our phones can be charged when there is no power at all. No power to pump gas. So if you want to go get some more gas, you can't, because the pumps run off of electricity. Some municipalities, you cannot even flush your toilet because your plumbing is pumped into your house. And the backup generators will only operate for maybe two days before they go down. When they go down, no more going to the potty. You have to go out in your backyard, and you have to have special equipment to bury it. And if you've got soil like I have, intertwined with trillions of vines and roots from various trees over thousands of years of time, this is a sandbar down here. So you're not digging any holes to bury the stuff that you need to bury. Everything is complicated. Complicated far, far more than people realize. And I praise you, Father, for helping me to realize some things through the 4-day power outages that I've suffered. To understand that so many of the things that I was sold, told that I had to have, crank up battery, crank up radios, crank up flashlights, that don't work. They don't work. Everybody thinks they're all set. They don't work. Best thing I get is a little teeny weeny AM FM radio, smaller than the palm of your hand, and put a AA battery in it. That'll work. When you run out of batteries, don't store your batteries out in the garage. If your batteries are not in air conditioning, they will go bad immediately. They will last maybe a couple of weeks. Brand new batteries, worthless. You're never going to have enough water. I don't worry about water because I got a swimming pool. I figure the 10,000 gallons of metal hold me over for a little while so I can suffer a little bit longer. But anyway, praise God. Father, we thank you for educating us through experience about these things and helping us to know what works, what doesn't work a little bit better, understanding that if we do want to charge our cell phones, thinking that that's going to somehow help us, that we're going to have to do it off of the gasoline that is inside of our cars. We're going to have to open up the garage door and we're going to have to run our automotive engines and charge our cell phones up using the charger in the car. That will work. Praise God. We thank you. I thank you, Father, for teaching me that. Very important to have your gas tanks topped off. Very important to have, you know, if you have a generator. If you don't have a generator, look, if you're in an apartment building, God is going to take care of you. Open the doors and the windows. Be on your knees in prayer. Be ready to weather the storm. You'll be fine. But if you do have a dwelling place, a home, where you can store a generator, you should get one. And then you also need to buy empty plastic 5-gallon gasoline storage bottles, I don't know what you want to call them, containers, and have as many of those as you can have because the generator will only run. If you run the generator continuously, you might get 24 hours out of it, but that would be a really, really big stretch. And it has everything to do with what you connect up to the generator. So you may say, oh, well, golly, my generator and this 5 gallons worth of gas will keep my two refrigerators, you know, my freezer and my refrigerator freezer, it'll keep those cold. You'll be able to run your propane-driven gas grill out back to heat up water and eat a little, you know, maybe you got rice, 5-gallon things of rice and beans and things like that that you can cook. But guess what happens? Yeah, sure, you can keep the freezer and the refrigerator freezer running, so that's good, right? But remember, every time you open the door, you lose all of the cold. So now you have to run the generator extra more to get the temperature back down because you dared to open the door. So it's really not free. It's not like, oh, wow, looky, all the food that I have in this refrigerator freezer. How wonderful. Praise you, Jesus. No, you open that door and you're back to zero. You're back to nothing. That whole thing is going to have to refreeze. It's going to have to, the temperature's going to have to drop down again. And you're going to have to run the generator extra long to get those temperatures to stabilize again. And by that time, you're going to be hungry again. So buy sardines, buy cans of tuna, buy cans, you know, get the chicken pouches or whatever. Vienna sausages. Spam is good, believe it or not. Might not be the healthiest thing in the world to eat, but it's very good in an emergency situation. All forms of canned meat are wonderful. Praise God. Also keep in mind that it's highly likely the next, if there is a full-blown power grid outage, and I know everybody's out there thinking to themselves, oh my goodness, we're getting hit by a 3.89 power solar storm right now, and aurora borealises are showing up all over Europe, and it's going to hit maximum power here on the east coast of the United States of Babylon the Great by 11 p.m. tonight, and the satellites are going to go out, and the power grid's going to drop out, and it's going to be a calamity, and people, and you know, and folks, the reason why I don't believe in any of that, never mind all of the lies that we were told on April 8th during the Anunnaki eclipse that wasn't even the moon at all, that people are still in a state of denial over, even though the videos are out there and prove absolutely beyond any shadow of a doubt for anyone who even slightly gets it, that we are surrounded by planets that do not belong in our solar system right now. That the path of totality does not change as it did this time. Why did it change? Because they weren't calculating it against the moon. There's so much more to it. We praise you, Father God, for the volcanoes erupting. We praise you, Father God, for the incredible earthquakes that are happening. We praise you, Father God, for the armies that have gathered around Jerusalem. We praise you, Father God, for the alliances that are occurring amongst the different Arab nations. We praise you, Father God, for the separation away from the petrodollar and the building up of the BRICS nations. We praise you, Father God, because these are all part of the end times that you warned us about. We praise you, Father God, for every one of the chicken facilities, egg facilities, cow pastures and farms, and meat that has been poisoned, killed, slaughtered, murdered, diminishing all of our food supplies so that we ultimately end up in a state of absolute famine. We praise you for that, Father God, because all of these are fulfillments of your prophecies and the things that you told us were going to happen. And we thank you, Father, for showing them to us so vividly, because now we are not just looking at animal kills and strange weather patterns. We're looking at the entire package. We see every single thing that you warned us about in the Olivet Discourse. We see everything, single thing you warned us about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, with the exception of the manifestation of the Antichrist. But we see the power signs and the lying wonders, and we know the strong delusion is on its way. Oh, we praise your holy name, Father God, and thank you for all of the things that you are showing us across the world. We thank you for keeping Jesus, for warning us not to be and Paul, you as well, when you're talking to the Thessalonians, you know, not to be, you know, getting a bee in your bonnet as if the day of Christ has come, and helping us to understand the things that have to happen as prerequisites to the day of Christ, which is the day of the rapture. The term day of Christ is found nowhere else in the Holy Bible except 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Praise God. Father, we thank you for helping us to understand that we are part of the fig tree generation. We pray fervently, Father God, for our fellow brothers and sisters across all 195 countries, 243, including the island nations and provinces. And we just pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will awaken all of those who will receive it, if you can receive it. Father, if they have the ability to receive it, Father, we pray that you will come upon them in dreams and visions of the night, that someone will get a hold of them, that a miracle will occur in their walk, that in some way, somehow, that Father, you can do anything. Matthew 19:26 says, with God, all things are possible. And we know, Father God, what your will is. Your will is that you would not want one to perish. Therefore, we praise you and we thank you, Father God, and we accept this as an honor to these prayers that you will execute upon, which is message that we are asking you right now, Father, to awaken our fellow brothers and sisters, to awaken those who have went on to the top of the seven mountains, to take away all of their pride, to humiliate them, Father God, not because we want them to be humiliated in front of their followers, but because we need them to be humiliated so that they can accept the fact that they were incorrect about their understandings and help the people that follow them, to help the other Christians that are out there that are misled, to help to bring them back on the narrow path, to help them be prepared for the days that we are already deeply entered into, and to be at the ready to have a larger group, because Satan does not want the American church to wake up. Satan does not. Per capita, this country has more Christians in it of various varieties than any other country in the entire world. In fact, probably more than most countries do combined. And if it woke up, if the Christians of this country, Babylon the Great, woke up and became truly holy and truly feared God, it would be the absolute worst thing that could possibly happen to Satan and the mission of the end times. And he knows it. And that's the last thing he wants to happen. And Father, we pray that you will pour out that crystal river, that anointing upon them, and awaken as many, Father, as you will. Please look, as it says in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, look upon their hearts as you have promised that you do. And speak loud and clear, please, Father, to those that have those hearts. Not like the people that walked away when you, Jesus, turned across and looked over your shoulder at the multitudes and said, if you will not eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you cannot follow after me. And all the thousands of people that turned around and walked away and called you names. Oh, we know exactly why you were doing that, Lord. We know exactly why you did that. Because there are those who have the spiritual acuity to know God when they see him. And there are those who don't. Father, we pray that you will look upon the hearts of all of those that are out there and jolt them. Now, Father, I'm not going to say anybody else that's listening now does. I don't submit that. But I will say that I believe, personally and beyond any shadow of a doubt, that Obama is in fact the final Antichrist, the final son of perdition, the final abomination of desolation, the final beast of Revelation 12, of Revelation, of the book of Revelation. He's the last one. That's it. Game over. I also believe that Brother Thomas Horn nailed it in his book Petrus Romanus by identifying the current pope as being the false prophet. I think he nailed it. I really do. Things can change. And Father, we know that you call audibles, and we know, Father, that you relent and that you listen to the prayers of your saints, especially those who are walking in harmony with your will and the holiness and righteousness that you ask of each of us as we struggle to monitor, to examine ourselves, to correct our course, and to maintain that harmony, not because we have to, but because we love you. Because we love you, Jesus. What I have never understood, Lord Jesus, and I am happy to say on this program, is why in the world would the Bible say that we love you because you first loved us? Because to me that means nothing. Means nothing. I know lots of people that first loved me, and I never loved them back. I love you because you're awesome. I love you because you're just, I can't even believe that you went through the things that you went through. Even if I look at it as something that you went through for all the people of the earth over thousands of years of time, it doesn't diminish the significance of it. It's mind-bending when we expand our understanding of the cosmology of the kingdom of God, which is made up of multiple universes, untold numbers of dimensions, trillions of galaxies, trillions of civilizations and life forms. To understand all these things, even if it's a weak understanding, multiplies by an order of magnitude the significance of what you did for us. And boy, I don't feel worthy. I don't feel worthy. I cannot possibly and never will I ever feel worthy. So you got yourself one tax collector here for sure. I'm honored to rent my robe and hang my head in tears before you. And awed by the spectacle of your godhood. Of being part of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and we are a part of it. And even now on this earth, with the presence of the Holy Spirit and you, Jesus, in us, we are the Godhead to what's left of this earth. And we thank you. We may not understand it. We may be absolutely blown away, having no understanding nor comprehension of how it could possibly have happened this way. This idea that perhaps we were chosen to be a part of this time, I cannot reconcile that for myself. But I praise God that I am, because if I was not part of this time, I do not think I would have made it. And I'm not even so sure right now. None of us know where we're going to land. All of us almost certainly know where we would like to land, where we would like to be for eternity. Maybe not exactly. It's a big, big kingdom. Big, big kingdom. But we want to be a part of it. We certainly don't want to have gone through everything that we have suffered here on this earth, particularly if we go back all the way into our childhood, all the way through the things that we've gone through in our lives. Review them, examine them, remembering the good and the bad. Remembering the things that have happened to us even recently. And how poorly we handled them, in my case. We are undeserving, but we have hope. And through our faith, through our hope, and through us knowing that when we read the scripture, when we read it, that it isn't just something we believe. We know, absolutely know. We are unshakable. And we shall remain unshakable no matter what. There is no cataclysm so horrific. There is no fire that burns hot enough. There is no torture that is painful enough. There is nothing that flesh can do to us that will shake our faith in your love for us. Thank you for helping us to understand at least a little how big all of this is and what a privilege. What a privilege, what seems like an awful, depressing, awful burden at face value in the flesh ultimately manifests into this incredible, eternal future of endless possibilities. Indeed, endless probabilities. And because we can see that fig tree budding green buds. Because not only can we see green buds on the trees around the fig trees, but we see full leaves blooming. The trees are turning very green. We're very quickly approaching the Donald Trump election. And we have the prophecies, dreams, and visions of those who saw him being eliminated, which would be the exact thing that would have to happen to jettison this country into a massive, bloody civil war and cripple this country so much so that the other countries would no longer see us as a threat. And therefore, because we are a lame duck flopping on the ground like a fish, World War III will freely and openly break out into a hot multi-country war because there's no more global hegemonic police force as if there is today. It's all been destroyed and it's never coming back. No matter what Donald Trump promises, no matter how long he stays in office, if he lasts a week, I'll be amazed. If he makes it past his inaugural address, I'll be absolutely stupefied. If he lasts a couple of months, that'll certainly fuel the fire to remove him as quickly as possible. But at that point, there's no return. Because the hope will be completely drained like a cadaver ready for a funeral. All hope, even the hope of the leaders of the other countries that are looking to see what's going to happen during the election to make a command decision on behalf of their entire country because they are waiting to see if Trump's going to get elected and turn everything around before they make any kind of a rash decision or start a war. They're all in a pause. They're all watching their P's and Q's right now, wondering, just maybe, Donald Trump will get elected and stop what today is clearly inevitable. But when that hope is taken away, the world will explode. It will explode. And from that point forward, let us pray. Just as the scripture says, Matthew 18:19, Father, because we see that the trees are full of leaves. They're full of leaves. And the only thing I can personally figure, and this is just my guess, is that all these things have to happen because too many of your people are in a myopic psychosis associated with a deception and a horrible misunderstanding. We see not only the fig tree, oh yes, indeed the figs are probably even blooming now. Matthew 18:19, Lord Jesus, we praise you for this. You said, and we don't just believe this now, Lord Jesus. We don't just believe this. We know it. We know it. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Thank you for that promise, Jesus. Thank you so much for that promise. And now, of course, we pray as we've been so commanded. These were not asks. These were not pretty please, would you consider doing this? These were commandments. gifts from God. And in accordance with one of your many, 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 many untold numbers of commandments, not only through you, but through your apostles as well, you told us, Jesus, watch, therefore, and pray always. Doesn't just say on Tuesdays. Doesn't just say once a month. It's kind of like taking communion. As often as you receive it. What if you take communion 3 times a day? There you go. Watch, therefore, and pray always. I can tell you one thing I do. Every single time I pray this. I take the word always very seriously. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may, notice the word may, doesn't say will, doesn't say shall. Worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. And stand before the Son of Man. And the only place I can be is at the wedding supper. It's the only place. There is no other place. If you understand your end times biblical timeline, even in the most rudimentary of understandings, you know that as all these things are happening, that table's probably already set. The placard with your name is already sitting in front of your chair. My tiny little bag of Andy's candies that Thomas Horn is trying to pilfer. I'm kidding. I'm so jealous of him. I so wish I was with him right now. Praise God. He's maybe sitting there. Just maybe. Wouldn't it be fascinating to be at the wedding supper, to go there? You'd be so odd. You'd just be looking all around and going, this can't be happening. This can't be happening. Oh, my gosh. We're all going to be totally flipping out. Flipping out. It will be amazing. Beyond words. We will be all just like, just flipping out. And then after all that flipping out, after all looking around and taking it all in, and the smells and the colors and the plants and the flowers that are alive and the singing and the things that are just so supernatural and incredible that you've never even imagined, that the testimonies of those who have been taken to heaven didn't even touch upon. And there you are in the midst of it all. And then you see your placard with a little bag of Andy's candies. That's what I'm hoping to see. Praise God. But I'll tell you what, folks, in all honesty, I'd be very, very happy to make it at all, because I certainly am the tax collector. In the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, I have a contrite spirit. I know I'm not worthy. And there isn't a presumptuous bone in my body. No way. I see, a lot of us would think, and I'm going to close on this and then we'll go deeper into the prayer vigil. Most people would think that if a person was taken to heaven, that they're guaranteed to go to heaven. Well, you've been to heaven. You were taken to heaven. You died on the operating table and Jesus took you to heaven. So you're in like Flynn. No, they're not. Just because you have a supernatural experience, you've got plenty of time. Let's just leave it at this. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to set you straight. Exactly what the people who leave the churches, who have itching ears and don't want to hear the truth, are avoiding. That's what you'll never get from me. Because I will shut this radio show down so fast it'll make your head spin. Because that's I'm here to tell you what I know as being the honest to goodness, Jesus-filled truth, leaving out nothing. And as best as I can tell, you know, I don't think anything that we've been told by those who have been taken to heaven or any of the experiences that we have had that indicate that we would be making the rapture, for example, the things that have happened to me, none of them are a guarantee. We have plenty of time to screw things up, to dork it all over, to make bad choices, which I am extremely adept at. And given some of the bad choices that I've made, I'll be quite happy to be in heaven in any manner at all. But I still believe more than anything that if we pray always to be counted worthy, because 1 John 3:7 says, he who practices righteousness is righteous just as he, Jesus, is righteous. So we are all in a state of practicing righteousness. Because if you rewind a little bit and go back over to 1 John 1, and I think it's like verse 2 or 3, and it says, if any of us thinks we do not have sin in us, we make God a liar. Watch out for those who have presumptuous sin and think that they're walking in some sort of a state of perfection. Because that very belief itself is, by definition, a presumptuous sin. It is our knowledge that we are unworthy. As David said, our sin is always before us. And in sin, my mother conceived me. To understand that that is a state of perpetuity in our sanctification. We are always in a state of sin. Sometimes I'm at a loss to know what to confess of. Sometimes I can't remember. I review as hard as I can everything I said, everything I felt. I mean, even your heart, your feelings, those fleeting thoughts that just shoot past your, those can be sins if they were not in harmony with God's will. We are charged with responsibility to be Jesus. No longer we who lives, but Christ who lives in us. What a powerful blessing that is. So, Father, all of us, in the mighty name of Jesus, whether listening to the program live, whether listening to a podcast, we bow our heads before you. We praise you for your incredible mercy, Father. We thank you for loving us enough to give us that grace and pouring out within that grace fountains of forgiveness, even for those things of which we have not yet identified as being outside of your perfect will. We thank you for thy rod and thy staff that comforts us. Use them on us. Slap it. Make it hurt. Yank our necks over. Get us back on that narrow path. For we are but dust. You said it, we accept it. For we are from dust. Psalm 103:11. Praise you, Jesus. Please, Father. Please, Lord Jesus. Please. Please. Count us each worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand beside you at the wedding supper. In Jesus' name we pray, forever and ever. Amen. Tonight is Friday, May the 10th. The time now is 8:20 p.m. on the east coast of the United States of Babylon the Great. And together, if you feel so led, we light the Sabbath candles. I like to light three, one for the Father, which I'm doing right now, one for the Son. Thank you, Jesus. And one for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You don't have to. Read Romans 14 and understand that it's talking about virtually everything in our walk. It's a blessing. It's an incredible blessing. And we thank you, Lord, for so blessing us. The Hebrew Kaddish.
Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam Bore peri hagafen. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam Asher kitchanu b'mitzvot Savanu V'shabat kodsho ve'avah uv'ratzon hinchilanu zikaron le'maaseh v'reshit. Ki hu yom techila le'mikra'e kodesh zecher yetziat Mitzrayim. Kivanu vacharta veotanu kidashta mikol hamim veshabbat kodshecha Be'ava uvratzon hinchaltanu. Baruch atah Adonai mekadesh ha-shabbat.
Arise, my love, my beautiful companion, and run with me to the higher place. For now is the time to arise and come away with me. For you are my dove hidden in a split open rock. It was I who took you and hid you up high in the secret stairway of the sky. Let me see your radiant face and hear your sweet voice. How beautiful your eyes are in worship, and lovely your voice is in prayer. You must catch those troubling foxes. Those sly little foxes that hinder our relationship. For they raid our budding vineyard of love to ruin what I've planted within you. Will you catch them? Will you catch them and remove them for me? We will do it together.
No slander will you find upon his tongue, and never to his friend does he do wrong. His neighbor knows no insult from his lips. His eyes despise the man of wickedness, but honors every heart who fears the Lord. But
Jesus, please cleanse and totally purify our heart, our minds, our souls, our spirit, our flesh, and our tongues, our record-keeping books in heaven and our robe and count in heaven with your precious blood, Lord Jesus. And Father, purge it with your holy fire. Make it pure as gold. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the blood of the Lamb of God, in Jesus' name, any entity of the darkness, worker of Satan, live or dead, human spirit, demon, member of a witch coven, anything that cannot call Jesus Christ its Lord and Savior, that at the moment that you set your wills against any one of us or our loved ones, that you shall be immediately struck by the holy fire of God straight down from the glory pillar in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus all over us, all over our houses, all over our jobs, all over our cars, all over every aspect of our lives. Father, please protect us through that blood. Father, surround our homes with link angels in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask for the holy fire of God and the thorny hedge of protection amidst a whirlwind of the Holy Spirit to blow white hot the fire of God in Jesus' name, and to have it swirl around our dwelling places on all sides, and that the holy fire of God will vaporize all earthly and spiritual weapons, all fiery darts that are attempted to be used against us, and all the demons that are standing behind them shall be struck in Jesus' name, and that angels will descend upon them, strike them deaf, blind, and dumb, place them under arrest, and cast them into the pit. We declare the fire of God to weld the pit shut. We decree the fire of God to permeate the pit and to burn them in the screaming agony, and we plead the blood of Jesus to seal the pit for only the Lamb of God can break the seals. Praise you, Jesus. We decree the fire of God to weld that pit shut in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We plead the blood of Jesus to seal the pit. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we also ask you for a platoon of warrior angels, Delta Force, Father, in the name of Jesus, to be assigned to each of us to shut down all demonic portals, to ferret out and stop any indirect attacks against us. Father, in the name of Jesus, that nothing, that good eyes will be made blind, good ears will be made deaf, and mouths that speak ill against us shall be made dumb. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We praise you for this protection, Father. We ask it for us and our loved ones. Father, if our loved ones are not strong believers, Father, we just pray that you will save their souls. We know that you will. We know that you will. We thank you for it, and we praise you for saving their souls. And Father, we also ask for divine protection, enough protection, Father God, for each of them, that it would not pull us away from our service to you. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you. Amen. Who may ascend unto the holy hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, no, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Psalm 24:3. We no longer see your miraculous signs. All the prophets are gone. And the ones that are still with us, they're not hearing as well as they used to. No one can tell us when any of this is going to end. How long, Father, will you allow our enemies to insult you? How long, Father, will you let them dishonor your name? Forever? Father, why do you hold back your strong right hand? We pray, Father, in your perfect time, that you will unleash your powerful fist and destroy them. And each of us knows at least a good number of them by now. Based upon Psalm 74:9 NLT. Jesus answered them, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone, not one, snatch them out of my hand. And my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms, and there are no grapes on the vine. You know, this scripture, Habakkuk 3:17, reminds me a little bit of, you know, if our Heavenly Father doesn't hurry up and rescue us pretty soon, it kind of reminds me of what it might be like to be here on this earth, you know, anytime soon. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vine, even though the olive crop fails, and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet all of us will rejoice in the Lord, won't we? We will be joyful in the God of our salvation. Amen. Try that on for size. Praise you, Jesus. That's why we're going to pray always to be found counted worthy. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Moreover, as for us, far be it from us that we should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for one another. Based upon 1 Samuel 12:23. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? That's Job 1:9. It's important to pray that the holy fire encapsulates you on every side. Got to pick up on these little hints. Real important. Job 33:14-18. King James. This one only works in the King James, in my opinion. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, and slumberings upon their bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the and his life from perishing by the sword. That's awesome. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. I'm going to say that again. This is one of those scriptures, Psalm 119, verse 11, that you want to write on your heart. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Proverbs 16, verse 7. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you, but rejoice. That this echoes, this is a sister verse of 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything, even the bad stuff, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake in Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed to you, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached in the name, for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of God, glory and of God rest upon you. Praise Jesus. On their part he's blasphemed. Yes, that's true. But on your part, you have glorified him. Praise God. One of my favorites, always will be, 1 Corinthians 8:2. If anyone thinks they know anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. What were the secrets they were told that we didn't get? never made it to the text. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. So that's one of the reasons why I feel so strongly, passionately, about the veracity of David Doetry's vision of the rapture. Not only does it line up with my collection of rapture visions, right down to the colors, right down to the blue object in the sky, all that. Not only does it line up to that, but David spent, I think, like a decade constantly on his knees begging God to please show him a vision of the rapture. And wouldn't you know, the one he gets is arguably the most controversial one ever spoken in the history of the world. That's why I feel pretty passionate that what he saw is exactly how it's going to go down. To this day, if I see a spherical shaped UFO in the sky on a video somewhere, I have an AFib moment, if you get my drift. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above all the earth and heaven. And he has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all of his saints. Praise the Lord. Psalm 148, 7 through 14, praise God. Thanks be to thee, our Lord Jesus, for all the benefits that you have won for us, for all the pain, insults that you've borne for us. O merciful Redeemer, friend, brother, elder brother, may we know thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, and follow thee more nearly, forever and ever. Amen. Ought to be from Richard Chichester. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. Huh. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Wow. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But now they are holy. Wow. That shoots a giant hole in this false notion of what people call the rapture of the innocents. Doesn't it? Yes, it does. Praise God. If you forgive any sins, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. John 20, 23. Job 22:30. He will even deliver from hell the one for whom you intercede who is not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands. But wait, that can't be true. That just simply can't be true, you see. How is it that I can pray for somebody's soul to be saved when they did not go to the front of their church and accept Jesus into their heart? Let's review what the Bible says. He or she will even be delivered from hell, the one for whom you intercede, who is not innocent of sin. Yes, they will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands. So when you are walking in holiness and righteousness, you are continuously examining yourself and judging yourself. 1 Corinthians 11:28, 31, and 32. When you are doing and living your life like that, continuously, this is continuously, this isn't intermittently, this isn't once every, you know, year or once every 2 months, this is a continuous thing. You're doing it continuously, 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 continuously. Every word that comes out of your mouth, every thing that you think, sometimes, you know, I'll just be la-di-da-di-da, thinking about this, thinking about that, you know, my mind's flitting back and forth across things, and all of a sudden I'll realize something that I thought I shouldn't have thought of, that it was bad. And I immediately say, Father, I thought about so-and-so. I shouldn't have thought that. Please forgive me. I confess that I did it. My sins are always before me. In sin, my mother conceived me. Wash me with your hyssop. Make me whiter than snow. Cleanse me, Father, of that sin, iniquity, and all trespasses in Jesus' name. I am constantly just sharing. This is not a boast. This is a share. Just sharing. I am constantly evaluating every little thing that I say, think, feel, whatever. And then I pray very, very hard. Very emotionally, supercharged emotionally, prayers. And I'm very persistent. The parable of the persistent widow in Luke 18 got nothing on me. I'm very persistent. And I will never give up. There's this old saying, I forget who the pastor was who was quoted as saying it, but it goes something like this. I'm paraphrasing. He said, just about the time that you stop praying for something is the time that you would have received the answer to your prayer. Would have. What we do is we pray for it continuously. Keep on seeking, keep on asking, keep on reverently knocking, and these things will be given to you. Keep on. Keep on. Be a persistent widow. Bug that judge. Bug, 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 bug. And praise him for it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the answer for my prayers. Thank you, Father, for turning everything around. All of this terrible disaster that appears to be happening. I do not accept it. I do not accept it. I know what my God is capable of. I know what Matthew 19:26 says. I stand on the belief of the Bible, and I don't just believe it. I know it's a fact, and I praise you for it. Thank you, Jesus. And you do not give up. On your deathbed, you thank God as you're passing off into eternity. You praise him for answering the prayers that you did not see made manifest for you while you were still breathing on this earth. Because he will. Thank you, Jesus. Search me, O Father, and know all of our hearts. Try us. Father, please know all of our anxieties. Father, please, would you look into our hearts and see if there's any wicked ways in us? Lead us to your way everlasting. For who can understand their errors? We pray that you will cleanse us of our secret faults because we obviously don't know about them. Father, keep back your servants, all of us, from presumptuous sins, and let not any of them have dominion over us, because then we'll be blameless and we'll be innocent of great transgression. based upon Psalm 139, 23 to 24, and Psalm 19, verse 12 through 13. This is one of my favorite verses. I've got to say this over and over again. This is what you do when you want, if you want to memorize a scripture. You say it over and over again. But you really got to lean on the chapter and the verse, because that's the first thing to go. I've got an untold number of scriptures that I can quote almost verbatim, if not verbatim. And but I've forgotten the chapter and verse. And it's very frustrating when that happens. And you have to go back and re-review them. A lot of scriptures I memorized accidentally by doing the prayer vigil. But then the prayer vigil show notes got so darn big. So I probably started out with like maybe 80 of my favorite verses, and now it's probably like to 500 of my favorite verses. But I love this verse. And if you're going to memorize it, you just want to say it over and over again. That's why it's really, really good to get yourself some of that scotch laminate. You don't have to get a laminating machine like I have. You can if you want. They're cheap. And they have pouches, and you can put them in the pouch and all that kind of thing. But you can get the stuff that you just stick on. It's really cheap. And you make them small. You want them to be able to fit in your pocket real easy, okay? You want to be able to carry them wherever you go and fit them in your pocket. And if you're a girl and you don't have a pocket, well, maybe there's some place in your purse. Unless it's one of those purses that's just like one big hole. You know, that where you have like lipstick from like 30 years ago still in there. But anyway, praise God. I'm just joking. I don't know anything about being a girl and what kind of purse I would have. But anyway, Galatians 3:28. I like Galatians 5:22 because that's the fruits of the Spirit, and the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, goodness. I know, and then it says, and self-control, but I think I forgot one. Naughty me. Against which there is no law. Cool. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. All the Messianic Jews are falling up backwards. They're all falling down the stairs right now going, I can't believe I just heard that verse. You took my entire identity from me. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28. Sometimes I would walk with maybe five cards with five verses on them. I like to write them by hand. I take a 3x5 card and I like cut it in half because that makes each half is just right to fit in your pocket or whatever. And then I write, you know, with a pen on, you know, the verse on the card because the writing helps to reinforce it. And then I laminate it. And then I make a little stack of them and I put them in my pocket. And then, you know, back in the day when I used to shop at Lowe's pretty regular or whatever, or I was doing fixing up a fence, putting a new lock on something, whatever. Sometimes I would literally stop right in the middle of Lowe's, right in the middle of, you know, aisle 15. And I would pull out those cards and I would start reading them. Isaiah 43:25, believe it or not, I actually have this on video. It's pretty funny when I watch it. I occasionally do, and, you know, you need a good laugh once in a while. But I used to have a doggie named Jez, J-E-Z-Z, Jez. And she was a female boxer, And she was a funny dog. I mean, she was pugnacious. When my other dog, my male fawn boxer, was, you know, when there was a thunderstorm going by or it was the 4th of July, he would, like, break out in hives. He would be, like, shaking so hard, just scared. And Jez would be standing up on the bed just tearing into those fireworks. Woof! Woof, woof, woof! How dare you set off those fireworks outside my woof, woof, woof! And it was just so funny to see the difference between the two. And I played this game with her over Isaiah 43:25. Because the whole thing, if you memorize the whole, what would you call it? Passage. To memorize the whole passage, it required several verses, right? I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Keep me in remembrance, and let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. Your first fathers sinned, and your mediators have transgressed against me. Now, of course, our mediator has not transgressed against the Father, so that puts us in it. Not only does that scripture still have great meaning to us, but it also has more meaning because our mediator has not transgressed against our Father, right? Amen? So that one was a tough one to memorize. So I decided I was going to include Jez in it, and I had the verse on a card. It was laminated. And I was thumping her on the nose while I was repeating it. I am he. And she would start going, woof, 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 woof. And it was going back and forth. We're going back and forth. I. And it was, I made this big deal out of it. And, of course, she got all excited about it and started barking and throwing a fit. And let me tell you something. I remembered that verse pretty quickly. Pretty quickly. And had fun doing it, too. And even filmed it. I didn't film the whole thing, but I filmed at least a segment of it. And it's hilarious to go back and look at that video and seeing her barking at me as I'm thumping her on the nose with the scripture card. But I memorized it really fast. Praise God. So whatever you can do to memorize your scriptures, carry those cards around with you. It's repetition. It's repetition. Repetition. As soon as you stop repeating one of the scriptures, you might be able to quote the words, but, you know, like, let every man seek his own salvation with fear and trembling. I know that scripture really well, but I do not remember what chapter and verse it is. You might, but I've forgotten. I didn't keep on. You got to keep on reinforcing it. Galatians 3:28. 3:28. 1 John 1:9. 1 John 3:7. Psalm 103 verse 11. Psalm 66:18. So many. When you actually do write them upon your heart by memorizing them, a magical, supernatural, incredible thing starts to happen. It's amazing. I never knew it was going to happen. Matter of fact, I remember I even got a scripture memorization app loaded up on my Android so I could memorize scriptures, and it would put a scripture up on the screen, and it would be like, what is that game show, you know, ding, 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 I don't remember, but whatever, and it would leave, like, words out of the sentence, and you would have to figure out those words. Oh, I'll buy a vowel, or whatever. I'm not a game show person. I hate game shows, but I remember that enough to remember that that was exactly how this particular verse memorization software worked. It would put the verse on there and it would subtract a certain number of words, and you'd really have to think through it. What is that word? What is that word? And, you know, you'd do it over and over and over and over and over again, and I guess eventually it would help you. But I gave up on it. It wasn't for me. Jack Van Impe just said, carry cards with you everywhere you go and keep on reading them over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. And then I started to realize, hey, these verses that I read continuously, the ones that are I always read over and over again on the prayer vigil, I realized that I was remembering them. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people who were brought out of the darkness and into his marvelous light, who were once not a people but are now the people of God, who had not, at once not had mercy but now have obtained mercy. I didn't memorize that one by writing it down on a card. I memorized that one by doing the prayer vigil show. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on loving kindness, gentleness, mercy. I don't know. I don't have that one down perfectly. And if you have anything against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And may the peace of God, something like, be upon your heart. I don't have that one down perfectly yet, but it's almost there. It's repetition, repetition. So maybe that's meaningful to you, or maybe you're like me. Maybe you're just like me. Maybe you're one of those people that say wacky, crazy things like I used to say. Things like, well, you know, I just am not the type to memorize things. I'm just not a memorizing kind of person. I don't memorize. It's not one of my gifts. It's not one of my talents. What a surprise it was when I discovered I was starting to memorize not just 5 or 10 scriptures, but dozens and dozens. And when you get them written on your heart, Psalm 119 verse 11, when those scriptures, Psalm 119 verse 11 says, I will write your scriptures upon my heart that I would not sin against thee. Okay? Now, but when you do it over time, it takes time, but it's kind of fun doing it. And when you memorize one, you're like, right on. You know, you go like a week later and you're like, whoa, I still remember that one perfectly. Cool. And it's very motivational. Well, just remember, what happens is you go to the next level in your walk in the Word. Okay? And remember that the Word is Jesus. And the word is the sword of the Spirit. It is the only offensive weapon in all the armor of God. So, with all the rest of the armor of God, the best you can do is kind of hang out in the corner and block the punches. But if you're going to take a whooping back into their court, you got to have the sword of the Spirit, the Word, which is Jesus. And when you take that word with your sword, you shove it right into the chest of that principality and you twist it, which is what I do. I hate. Look, we are beings of light and love. We transcend the things of this earth. Yes, they trouble us. Yes, they carry with them a great burden. And sometimes they might even make us get depressed. Sometimes we don't carry them, that burden, with grace. Sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we think things that we're not allowed to think. Every single time I thought of jamming a knife into the eyeball of Bill Gates, I had to repent. And I had to mean it. I had to really, really mean it. And not do it anymore. Doesn't keep me from wondering why SEAL Team 6 hasn't paratrooped down from the sky. I wonder. But that's up to our Heavenly Father. Truth be told, I hate that phrase. I repent of that phrase. I repent of that phrase. It implies lies. Full disclosure on my analysis of this dynamic is that our Heavenly Father is not going to take these entities out because he's using these entities to usher in the worst of times. I don't know how long it's been since you've read A Tale of Two Cities. These were the best of times. These were the worst of times. Well, I don't know anything about the best of times today. Unless you were working in the field and the other one was took and you were standing there going, what happened? But it's very, very, very good to be cognizant. Be very aware of all these things which I'm sharing with you now, because it's part of who we are. It's part of our walk. We're the Godhead. We are the Godhead. We are all one. Look, Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. I don't like the word Greek. I don't like that word. I don't think it should, I prefer Gentile. They should have put Gentile there. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ. We are all one. One. One in Christ. Wow. Well, if we're all one in Christ, and Christ is God, who are we? What are we a part of? We are part of the Godhead. It's not in the future. It's right now. Praise his name. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, right now. Praise God. And on that note, hallelujah, let's go into communion. Praise Jesus.
Disciples were seated about you at the eve of unleavened bread. You said, I've eagerly yearned for this supper, and that you'd suffer so his children could be fed. I can only imagine the silence in the room as you passed on the bread to be torn. They did not understand the reach of his plan, and his love, we were told, to rejoice, not to mourn. So we gather in memory the glory of the Lamb, the one who was slain for the seed of Abraham. As we long for your coming, we imagine the feast, the King and his bride, when our waiting has ceased. As you arose and went back up to heaven, to plead to the heavenly court, you lifted the cup of forgiveness. It was paid, it was done, you had covered the cause. And I can only imagine the thunderous sound as all heaven exploded in cheers. We were freed from our chains, now all that remains is to never give in. We are destined to win. So we gather remembering the healer of our soul, destroyer of death, the Lord of our all, the light in our armor, the edge of our sword, the King of all kings, and the Lord of all lords. For we believe in our land, all of creation restored by his hand. Eternity, all is revealed. By the time we remember, all scars will be healed. As we long for your coming, we imagine the feast, the Lord and his bride, when our waiting has ceased.
Praise God. I just realized there was something I forgot to say earlier. Excuse me. When you memorize lots of scriptures, your heart will start to connect them all together. And that's when you have spiritual scriptural discernment. You will hear those scriptures echoing in your heart from the Old Testament to the New Testament. I don't spend any time flipping the pages of a Bible, ever. I never have. And I never will. Yeah, well, the only time that I did was when I was a kid and they didn't have electronic Bibles. Turn with me to Psalm 139, verse 16. And the church sits there for the whole hour that they're going to play church. And they sit there and all 150, 200 people are flipping through the pages. And about 6-7 minutes later, everybody finally gets to Psalm 139:16. And then the preacher spends the next 40 minutes talking about Psalm 139:16. And then they dismiss everybody because they don't want to miss the kickoff. Oh, I remember those days so well. But I wanted to share that with you because that's the greatest blessing of all. When you memorize, over time, it takes time, but when you memorize lots of scriptures, they just start to appear in your psyche. Like, they show up in your head. Like, when I read Psalm 139:16 in the NLT, I knew immediately that it was a sister verse of Ephesians 2:10. You know, you literally hear the scriptures in your head. You hear the sister scripture. You hear it. And it meshes together in this beautiful harmony. And it raises itself outside of the context of the Bible, which is your archenemy most of the time. And it just connects and weaves in a tapestry throughout all of eternity. It's a beautiful thing. And it happens especially especially when you memorize them and you write them on your heart. When they become so dear that you have a little bit of a panic. I take my, say I'm wearing a particular tropical shirt, has to be pure rayon. And I throw the tropical shirt over, my chair or whatever in the master bedroom. And then the next day I get up and maybe I wear the same shirt again. Maybe I don't. Maybe I do. But I go for my scriptures that are in my pocket. And they're not there. And I start to panic. I'm like, where are my scriptures? Where are my scriptures? I mean, I really do. I start to flip out. And I grab out my flashlight and I go over to the chair and I'm looking all around on the floor. I've lost some a couple of times and eventually I would find them. But I would always have that moment of panic and dread that I lost one of those scriptures that I wrote on a card in my pocket. And that was unthinkable. Praise God. All right, let's move onward. Onward, Christian soldier. Praise God. Generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. And finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Jesus went a little further and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Matthew 26:39. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by the angels, preached amongst the Gentiles, believed upon in the world, and received up into glory. 1 Timothy 3:16. We pray for purification based upon Psalm 51:1-14. Father, we pray that you will have mercy upon us. Because, Father, we need it. We need it. Father, according to your loving kindness and according to the multitude of your tender mercies, we pray, please, Lord, please blot out all our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity and cleanse us of our sin. For, Father, we acknowledge our transgressions. We confess of them. For our sin is always before us, and in sin our mothers conceived us. Against you, Father God, you only we have sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. For behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make us to know your wisdom. Purge us with hyssop, and we shall be clean. Wash us, and we shall be whiter than snow. Make us hear joy and gladness, that the bones that you have broken with thy rod and thy staff may rejoice. Hide your face from our sins. Blot out all of our iniquities. Create in us, Father God, a clean heart, a clean mind, a clean spirit, a clean soul, a clean tongue, a clean set of record-keeping books, and a clean robe and gown in heaven. Strengthen our spirits. Increase our determination. And let us not grieve the Holy Spirit, Father. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and uphold us with your generous spirit. Because then we will teach transgressors your ways. Because then sinners will be converted to you. Deliver us, Father, please, from the guilt of our past sin. Father God, of our awesome salvation, thank you so much. And then we shall sing loudly about your awesome righteousness. The Lord's Supper, Holy Communion. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in that same manner he took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Ani Ladodi Vadodi Li. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. I'll share them with you, but I'm his favorite. Just kidding. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I actually have that sign down in the hallway. We all need to smile once in a while, don't we? And turns out my sister wanted a copy of it to give to her pastor. It actually says on it, it's funny, makes you smile every time you see it. It says, Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite. Amen. Praise God. Oh, I already played that song. Oh, whoops. Thank you, Jesus. Good way to end it with a smile on your face. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Father, we praise your holy name, and we thank you for this opportunity to gather together. We thank you for this electronic ecclesia. We thank you for having a great, via the testimony of so many that have been taken to heaven and met with you, Jesus. It's wonderful to realize that you have an awesome sense of humor, and that you're just downright hilarious and fun to hang out with. And it was one of the greatest blessings, one of the greatest blessings of my entire, really my life, I guess, when we've been so blessed to have people who were taken to heaven and spent time, especially those that spent a pretty good amount of time with you, tell us how funny you are, how fun you are to be with, how awesome your sense of humor is. That's just so refreshing to realize how much like us you actually are. If we could be completely pure, like Titus 1 verse 15, to the pure, all things are pure. If we could be delivered from the oppression of the sin that so easily besets us here on this planet, which indeed, while it ultimately belongs to you, Father, we know this. It's Satan's. This is Satan's abode. Satan could not have offered Jesus in the desert all of the kingdoms of the earth if he didn't have it to give away, could he have? No, he couldn't. No, he couldn't. We're stuck with it. And if it wasn't for the incredible love of our Father, the divine protection of angels and archangels, the power of the holy fire of God, the power of the sword of the Spirit, using it liberally against the forces of darkness, you know, we are commanded to love. We are commanded to love and to forgive, that it would even heap coals of fire on a person's head for treating them good when they're treating you bad. Romans 12. And then to recognize, to be in a situation where you are exposed to the, you know, the Klaus Schwabs of the world, and he's not human, so I don't mind mentioning his name at all. I'm happy to mention it because I know exactly where he's getting thrown. The Bill Gateses, the Anthony Faucis, these entities, these beings, the Hillary Clintons, and so, so, so many more. And you know, we are commanded to be full of love. We are commanded to be penitent, to be contrite, to be the Beatitudes. We are commanded to be beings of light and love, because that's who we are. And vengeance is our Father's. It belongs to Him. We're not really even supposed to think bad things about others, even though, quite honestly, they deserve it. But that's really not for us to worry about. Turn it over to our Father. We are love. That's how the world will know that we are Jesus' disciples, because of how we love one another, even if I don't think the earth is flat. Even if I believe this and you don't. Even if you think the entire universe is just there to be pretty, and I don't, it doesn't matter. What matters is that we love one another. That's what matters. We are the sons of God. We're the masters of the devil. Those miserable demons. And you know something? If you're going to take your pent-up emotions, your frustrations with the filth, such as Klaus Schwab, Gates, Fauci, these entities from the bowels of Sheol. Boy, I could mention a bunch of more names, people who even profess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but boy, oh boy, I don't think they're, I'm not going to judge them. Judge not that ye be judged, but boy, I'll tell you, it's hard. It's hard to see what's going on in Babylon's Congress. It's very hard to pay attention to that. I would rather not. If I had a choice, if I was able to do this, and the Lord approved of it, and He made it very clear to me that He did approve of it, and I know, and I knew that 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 God had definitely sanctioned and approved it, I would leave. I'd sell everything I have, and I would find some little South Pacific island like Bora Bora, and that's where I would live until Jesus came. I'd get away from all this. I'd get away from it. I don't want to be around it. There's nothing enjoyable about, you know, it's a double-edged sword. I'm kind of thinking out loud right now. You probably figured that out. But, you know, I have to doom scroll, because if I don't doom scroll through my Twitter feed or whatever it is I'm monitoring, and I might be monitoring InfoWars sometimes, I might be monitoring some certain YouTube channels, I might be listening in on a segment from Redacted, I might be listening in on something from Scott Ritter, I might be listening on a little blurb from Douglas McGregor, it, you know, where whatever it is that I'm doing as part of serving God, in part of that includes watching and not throwing spaghetti on the walls. What I mean by that is that there are many, many, many people, God bless their sweethearts, and I do mean that. I mean that from the very bottom of my heart. Bless their sweet, precious hearts. But they couldn't tell, you know, they're as our Heavenly Father said about the people in Nineveh. There's like, what did he say, 150,000 souls there, and they can't tell their left hand from their right hand or something like that? He said something like that. And there are so many people that fancy themselves as watchmen for our Heavenly Father, but they throw everything. They throw spaghetti at the walls. Every single thing they see, every single thing they hear, they send it out to everybody. Because heaven forbid Heaven forbid the blood should be on their hands, Ezekiel 33:6. And I'm thinking to myself, who would want, I would not want someone watching my back in a war situation and couldn't tell the difference between a Nazi soldier and, you know, the guy who makes donuts at 4 o'clock in the morning, the Pillsbury donut boy. You know, we have to, I want great signal intelligence. I want to know what's a true threat and what's not a true threat. That's really important to me. Wouldn't it be important to you too? Sure it would. Would be important to all of us. Very important to put a little bit of that little thinking cap on there and not believe every little thing that you hear and not attribute it all to the Holy Spirit. Oh, the Holy Spirit told me. Oh, the Lord told me. Really? Did the Lord tell you? Or did you think of it? And that, my dear brothers and sisters, is the quandary that we are in right now. Because all these new Christians, or they might be old Christians, but they're all trying to be watchmen. And they don't have the experience. They don't speak Farsi. They can't tell their bosses what's going on. So they just throw everything over the wall. Well, they said this. Well, they said that. They, you know, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. As soon as the solar storm hits the earth, the power is going to go out. Earthquakes are going to hit. All these things are going to happen. And God told me so. Did he? Did he? So I'm always looking at whatever I feel or think might happen. And the first thing I say to myself is, did I think of that? We don't know sometimes. We all see through the mirror dimly. We all prophesy in part. Personally, if you're me, if you did prophesy, you had no idea you were doing it at all. I know. Although a lot of the articles I wrote back in 2011, 2012, et cetera, came true. But I didn't. I never looked at them like that. I never saw myself as doing anything but hypothesizing on paper of what might be. Could it be that this means that? Could it be that that means this? But the one good thing that we can definitely do to take out our frustrations on the evil of this world is to remember spiritual warfare. And also Ephesians 3:20, now to him, our Lord Jesus, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a lot. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think of, according to the power that works in us. I would submit that the greatest Christian tragedy is failing to recognize the might, the power, and the fear that you can put into these filthy, abominable, disgusting entities that are ever present around us on this fallen earth. And how refreshing it is to take that sword of the Spirit and sever their heads in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Entities of the darkness, workers of Satan, thrones, principalities, powers, spiritual hosts of wickedness, rulers of darkness in high places, I come against you in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, and I declare fire swords of cherubim shot down from the heavens to cut you into pieces. I decree fire of God to launch down from the glory pillar and to burn you into screaming agony. And I declare in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, hundreds of trillions of legions of warrior angels, fully clad in the armor of God, diamond tip sword sharp as razor blades, to enter into war with you such as never been seen since before all of creation, in Jesus' name. You don't think that puts a hurting on them? It does. I've met people that have been there. I haven't. Blessed is he who believes and has not seen. That's like my middle name. But think about it. Think about that power. Because what I've been told by those who have been there, those who have been in the spiritual realm, where the demons, the principalities, the powers, the thrones, the spiritual host of wickedness in high places, where all these filthy creatures are. I have talked, I have had private conversations with people who have been there. They saw the wars, the war in the spiritual realm. They saw the war between the angels, archangels, and they saw the results of the spiritual warfare mandates and commands that were launched into the spiritual realm against the second order demons. And they are very real. In fact, when we pray out of faith, especially when we use spiritual warfare tactics, the results are many, many, many times a magnitude far more horrific for the entities that receive them. Than we could ever imagine. Coming from someone, without naming any names for privacy purposes, that was there and saw it. The real damage that was done by people like you and me. We were never seen. The principalities never laid eyes on us. They just received the brunt of what we threw at them. What we can do with spiritual warfare tactics and prayer by going after those entities is far, far more devastating and horrific to them and to Satan than we could ever imagine. Don't be shy. Grab that sword of the Spirit. Squeeze that handle tightly in your hand and shove it right into their chest. And call down the fire of God to burn them. Imprison them. Destroy them. Because we're the only ones that can. Praise God. We are the only ones that can. And it's through the power of Christ in us. And it's with the very weaponry that our Heavenly Father has given us. Praise his name. God bless you all. keep on praying. Keep on asking our Heavenly Father to send angels into the dreams and visions of the peoples across the world, into the dreams and visions of those who have been deceived by the Seven Mountains Mandate, into the dreams and visions of those who are about to die or are in absolute horrific situations in the Ukraine, in Gaza. I don't even want to think about the things that are going on in these places. Keep your mind stayed on things above. Go to odenhetrick.com. He has his book published there on the website. odenhetrick.com. This book, I think he has the whole book there. Listen to his testimony. Keep your mind, keep your heart stayed, focused on who you are. Who we are. Destroy the works of the devil just like Jesus did, because you are Jesus on this earth. And most of all, whatever you do, don't let yourself get discouraged. We really are incredibly close. I might not be able to quantify that, but I can say it with great assurance. God bless you all. See you next Friday, Lord willing.
Lord, we come to you with repentant hearts. We seek you with all our might. Sinners that the mercy of grace, redeemed we are by your embrace. Praise his holy name. Praise the King of Kings. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? For you we will endure until you come back for your bride to set her free. Write our names in your book of life. We are cleansed through your holy sacrifice as we lift your name on high. Renew our mind, renew our soul. Remove the scars from our past and deem us righteous. We rebuke all deceptive lies. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then, we will endure. We are the branches on a living tree. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then, we will endure. Until you come back for your bride. Set her free. Watch us as we trim our wicks. Our lamps are full, our hearts are right. Like those five wise virgins, we will be. Your bride awaits thee patiently. Blessed sound will rise. The church is gathered. We're praying that we're worthy, Lord, to join our family. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me?
we will endure, and while we wait, we will bring forth the fruit of the light of Christ. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then, we will endure. Until you come back for your bride to set us free.
Thank you.